That we were kind of pushing.
We don't know how to dress in this weather. Should I dress warm? Should I dress in a white dress or layers
Layers,
or
all these things
rain
and
gear?
black things. And okay, good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of Village of CarMax, Tuesday, July 22nd. Like to respectfully acknowledge that we are here meeting on the traditional territory of Little Sam and CarMax First Nation. This is Agenda 25-14. Call the meeting to order at 7 o'clock. Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
Yes, I'll move that we adopt the agenda.
Do you have a seconder?
Also,
Dennis Mitchell? All in favor?
no. In camera, please.
Oh, sorry. There's an amendment to an in-camera session. I'll ask that again.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the agenda as amended.
Seconder?
Second.
Councillor Wheeler, all in favor? Thank you. Okay. Motion to adopt the minutes for a regular meeting July 8th, 2025.
I'll make a motion to adopt the minutes.
Councillor Wheeler, motion. Seconder?
Will second.
Councillor Hanson? All in favor? Thank you. Passes. Delegations. Public Works Building Retrofit, David Eastland and Mike Ukrainitz. Welcome.
Thanks. Hello, everybody.
Hey.
I have a bunch of handouts here.
Okay.
Sort of a bit of everything, a bit of a background forecast.
Thank
you.
10 copies of Let us know if you want to control the slides or if you just work off of DSM. Okay. So, if you just want to hit up the next slide. So, it's a bit of a project history on this one. So, this one goes back quite a ways, actually, and it was originally tied into the fire hall project. So it's combined funding. So the fund for the fire hall initially included a public works slash fire hall. And it went into design roughly 2018, I think 2019. It went out for tender, and it's sort of the same predicament that we're running into now, and that it went out for tender with both projects, public works and the fire hall, and it came in over budget. So the public works portion was stripped off of that in order to get the fire hall done. So the remaining funds now are allocated to public works, which is what we're trying to utilize as much funding as possible before the fund expires and still get you guys what you need, being the public works project. So we had to wait for fire hall to actually be substantially complete in order to determine exactly the dollar value that was left to implement for the public works facility. So once that was established, I mean, that was probably late 20, March 20, 2023, after substantial fire. So 24, I think, is when we initially sort of got these consultants on board to sort of pre-plan this. And that was when the initial programming phase came in, and we worked with, it was Tracy at the time and council at the time. You may have actually been part of that
I was
process.
part of the first. Part, yes.
Yeah, so
Not the, yeah.
we worked with, I'm not exactly sure who was with Public Works at the time, but it was Tracy, and walked through the
Probably
need.
Bill.
I think that's right. Yeah, it was Bill at the tail end. Just to confirm, like, what your guys' use needs were, equipment, various other things, planning. So that's where we ended up with the initial design that went out for tender in 25. And we did get a cost estimate for that, construction cost estimate. It was all anticipated to come in our budget. And once it went out for tender, it ended up coming in at $1 million over a budget, which is the bill. We just canceled this spring and kind of going into a bit of a rehash. So like knowing that we can't afford a new build, the idea is to explore reutilizing the existing facility. You can skip to the next slide. But I think that, I mean, that's kind of why we're also here today, is we're presenting this in hopes that you guys will, you know, eventually we're looking for a conversation to how we'll finish off the presentations, we'll have retrofit, retender, redesign. And that's kind of, I guess, how we'd like to finish the meeting today would be to hopefully get your guys' approval. That's kind of how we end it. That's, yeah, we're not obviously in terms of the formal process and that, but yeah, I didn't mention that at this point, right? But yeah, we're hoping to try to get a, I don't know what to term a motion.
A resolution.
Resolution, yeah, to proceed with sort of the direction, ultimate direction. So this is kind of where we're at now, is the revised approach to it, is try to get it back, get you guys something that still works, fits your needs, and fits the budget that we have left and the time frame that we have left. Because we're also under the gun because that fund expires March 27th, has to be complete.
Of 2026?
No, March 27th. Yeah, we just wanted to have it done, yeah, this year. And
yeah.
So we don't have a whole lot of time. So we'd like to try to get it as speedily as possible to get it back into costing and design. So view next slide. So this is where it was. So this is what it does, a line that just went out for tender and was canceled. So it was a three-bay offices on the side, separate septic and all the rest of this. It's basically a complete new building. Everything.
Like everything on the property would not exist except for what this is.
Yeah. The idea was we're trying to
finish. The old building is cold
storage. Yeah. That's kind of what the thought process was. It was just organizing the entry into the site because it's a bit convoluted with where that well went in and access points. So like we worked with them to try to get this into the site in order to be able to retain pretty much everything that was there.
Okay.
So it's nothing elaborate. It's just, I think where it ended up being costly was like all the civil work, like the new septic system and things like that. I don't think the building itself per se was too costly, but regardless, it came in at 4.8. So we need to switch things up and you go to the next one. So that's the site layouts. And that was the way it was designed. So we left side beam, new septic, where the grid bubbles are, that was the new location. So new yard, new civil, new concrete, avoids the drive aisle, and then retains the existing building. So that's kind of where that one was left, just as sort of a bit of context for site. So if you want to go to the next one. So I met with Jens on site a couple of Fridays ago now, I think, and walked through. I don't remember the other fellow's name that was there.
That was Max.
Max, okay. So we walked through, spent quite a bit of time going over everything. So they're super helpful in trying to break this down. So this is kind of like just a hit list of items on top of the plan, which I'll show you in the next slide. But so the idea is like a new, possibly adding a new bay onto the side so you can get the larger equipment and a straight drive-through bay. So you can have either end-to-end parking for the grader and the loader or truck and the loader, truck and grader, that sort of thing. New gates. Or access gates through both, like adding a new entry to the site and replacing the existing gate with ones that are electric, just easy to use for folks and trucks and delivery. And because of the well location and just sort of the odd placement of it where it exists now, and the fact that the well is actually produces water, I guess the water is decent quality or decent enough quality compared to the old one, is adding covered parking, sort of like what's along the side of the fence against the adjacent properties, like just cold storage or cold, like a lean-to essentially, and extend it out far enough that we could pick up the well to tie the well back into the existing public works building. Car plugs, testing the existing floor heating to see if it could be reused, adding new heating system with redundancy on it, whether it's a boiler or some sort of forced air. high-level fans, because I know when doing work in the past, it was really cold in that building and it was impossible for them to work. And I think it's still problematic. Super cold, so basically having a fan to drive the heat down. The electrical system, getting that sort of tidied up a bit so that there's not issues with blown breakers and that sort of thing. Insulate the existing skylights as to prevent heat loss, which was sort of something that had been filed ages ago, but it's with old issues. Yeah. Even with the new build, we left that because obviously we weren't supposed to reduce the existing, but replacing the sanitary holding tank that was split under the building. Adding a well, it says replace a washer, but essentially put the washer back into place and back into use. Remove the out of code fuel system. Adding a vehicle lift in one of the bays, like a small vehicle lift, so there are like oil changes and tire changes and that sort of thing. And then adding just floor drains and such into the to that building. So that's what we're, in a nutshell, what we're trying to accomplish with the money that's remaining, and still ensure that we're meeting all the needs that were sort of developed as part of the initial design.
And addressing all codes issues that are still obviously washers and that kind of thing that are code issues.
So the pull-through bay or whatever, that extension, be heated?
Yeah, so it'd be tied in. I don't know if it would be just man doors between the two, or if you can just open it up and just leave a structure so it's like completely open between the existing two and the additional bay. It's kind of what I thought, like not touching the structure. Cornerstone building assessment basically said that the structure itself was good for reuse on the facility.
Mm-hmm.
It just needed upgrades. So we're hoping that with these upgrades, that will address some of those items that were covered in the Cornerstone report, plus upgrade it to where you guys actually need it to for use.
Which is functioning.
Yeah. So you can go to the next one. So this is the plan that I put together just based on the existing site, the existing building, and potential options. So that pull-through bay being longer, obviously, to accommodate the larger vehicles. And it's like a pull through and adding a new entry at that location. So there can either be both, of course, depending on how that functions for you guys, like truck pull through, fuel delivery, that sort of thing. And then the cold storage or the parking, the covered parking, the sort of three bays to the north. And then basically a well to encompass the existing well and then being able to tie it back in. And then it just shows other things like the new fuel tank and sanitary about that. So this is generally kind of what the thought process was, retrofit.
Would that use the whole fund that's available? Just maximizing that amount?
Yeah, basically what it's like, we'll have to go back and get it, like provide them with the results here. And if we can get approval to proceed, the idea is to go back out to get a construction cost estimate. Mm-hmm. To nail that down. I think that this will probably exhaust all of that just based on where costing is these days.
Okay.
But it leaves options. So like it's like a full build obviously is quite expensive, but because we're not doing a lot of the civil work, yeah, I think this is probably a lot more feasible.
I visualize the new building going closer to that building being tore out because where that well is in the middle of the yard.
Yeah. Like, I think
that's dangerous.
Well, it is because, I mean, it's back into it. There's a lot of people back into it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It's an odd place, and I think initially it was done first because of the time frame it takes to do the water licensing, the testing requirements. I think the well went in to make sure that it was suitable for use on the new build because the original option was still where we were showing it, but just tied in that whole side of the site. And I think maybe that was the idea during that planning phase was to remove all of it. It wasn't part of that design phase.
I'm just saying that's what I visualized, seeing where it was, where yeah, the well was drilled in.
And I also don't think that Demner for the horse, yeah. I don't think Demo was actually included in the initial kitchening either. No. So I think that might have been a consideration.
It was, yeah. We saw on demo costs, but
you guys might have seen that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess just maximizing the square footage for what your numbers are. That's what we'd be looking at. Do you have any comments, Jen, from your crew? And
looks good.
Yeah.
What I would do, just a few of them, I would leave it on the side because the snow's always coming down, or ice.
Yeah.
That it's not damaged.
Yeah, it's, I think that might have been listed and I missed it. But like consideration for drips and snowfall and all that sort of thing was in there. So there might be some envelope upgrades.
Okay.
And once we get costing, like depending where the numbers come in, we can add in stuff or create line items for tender. So like if it comes in too much, yeah, provisions, we'll start removing things. That's
is the roof that's on the existing building sloped one way, is that what you're saying? Or is it
one is this way and out of the beginning?
Okay. So it's a gable style, and what Nans was saying was that like it comes down and damages like the electrical and the fuel on the one side and then falls on the door and the entry on the other side. So try to eliminate that as much as possible. And I mean, if we can do a full envelope upgrade, then fantastic, because they're not the most efficient probe either. Okay, so. But yeah, essentially that's kind of it in a nutshell. I don't know if you have anything to.
No, I just think, yeah, like you said, I think once you get costing back, then you'll be able to kind of now play with the numbers and the kind of list of wants and needs and, check where you'll kind of be able to see how it's going to flush out.
When you're talking about adding trenching, is that like a pit that you walk down, or is like what is that?
It's drainage, so that there's no floor drain in the building.
Not an actual like pit where you'd go underneath.
No, I don't know. What.
Probably like melted snow that's on the trucks.
Yeah, like washing stuff off.
Yeah.
But then like it sort of snowballs and then you end up meeting the oil water separator and all that sort of thing before you can get discharged. So like it ends up being a little bit more costly. The other consideration for that is like it has the in-floor. You used to have in-floor heating. If it's tested and it doesn't work, then fill your boots cutting out the slab. But if it does function, and you want to add heat back into it, then it's a case of like you have to go and get the x-rays to see where the lines and stuff are to cut drainage into it, which could be costly and problematic.
Is it necessary in there if you have these other buildings that are accessible to have the new style drains?
Yeah.
Like, would that be a piece that might not necessarily need, or would the money could be used somewhere else?
Well, the only thing that I could think of, like, if it doesn't work for the actual existing building, like, the new build portion of it could have that incorporated into it. So, like, in the wintertime, if you're having vehicles covered in snow, whatever, you can wash off in that bay.
Yeah.
As opposed to try to retrofit the other one.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll sort of see how it goes along when, and if we go into design.
Yeah. And is that an option in that big bay, is to have, like, a wand to wash things off, or what is that?
There's just code considerations because that ends up being like a wet area, and so like everything comes to be, the electrical has to be upgraded, and it's not a huge building, and there's not a ton of it in there, so I don't think it'd be all that costly to retrofit some of these things, like adding the water, things like that. But there again, if it's just focused on that bay and it's just man doors, then it's sort of like two separate facilities. I mean, code wise, it doesn't operate two separate facilities, but you can adapt the new to suit that use.
Right. Okay. Do you have any other questions, Jens?
Okay.
Any counselors?
Thank you.
Okay, so you're looking for
just a yay, I guess, to go ahead and get costing done, and then roll into the design, because we also have to get a project change done with Canada. And the only way that we can do that as well is if we know what the budget numbers is, and if it's, you guys are okay to proceed with it.
Okay, so it would be a resolution to move forward with the cost for the retrofit?
Yeah, the retrofit option, yeah, cost and design.
I'll make that motion.
Councillor Wheeler, do we have a seconder?
Yes.
Councillor Hanson?
Yeah.
Any other questions?
No. I'm just thinking of all the hours I sat here going over designs.
Okay. All in favor? There's your resolution.
Excellent. Yes. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Janice.
Thank you.
Strategic planning with Jordan Stackhouse and Elevator Yukon. Welcome, Jordan. You can stay or you can.
Great to go.
Yeah.
You're okay to go. Stay night. Enjoy the beautiful weather.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks again, everyone.
Have a safe trip home.
See you later.
See you.
Bye. See you guys. Yeah. Man, YG can only get value for $4 million for that, man.
Sheesh.
I'd love to see the new building.
Yeah, no kidding. Anyways, one of my thing. Nice to see you guys. Dennis, highways look great. Didn't see your lifeless corpse in the ditch. I was happy. Like when I was here last time, Councillor Wheeler mentioned, just overheard, like, you know, it'd be good, might be worthwhile for council to do some strategic planning, get on the same page. I heard some feedback that maybe some councillors feel like just implementing like old plans and stuff like that. You guys haven't really developed your vision for what you want to accomplish like during your term here.
Yeah.
And so that's really what we're here to talk about today. So we call that a strategic planning process. You guys have been through it before. I did it while Tracy was here with the previous council, and I'm not sure it ever got adopted just for whatever reason. But you know, there's an opportunity to kind of revisit that now. And so Chantel got a hold of me a week or two ago and just asked if I could provide a small quotation for this work, which I was, of course, was happy to do. I'm super, like, always happy to work with you guys. Appreciate our relationship and probably could, I think, work through some of these pieces that maybe are on your guys' mind that need to be discussed. And so you guys can set your vision for what you guys want to accomplish, like, during your term. We have an approach here. I'm just going to assume that you guys have read your package, right? So you guys have seen that, and really, like, you know, in a nutshell, like, we're here to facilitate a conversation with you guys, really, is, and use our kind of like knowledge and background and expertise and history and all that kind of stuff to help you guys make, not make good decisions, but just like, you know, make sure that what you're working on in a world of endless possibilities is the right thing. You know, we could spend a lot of our time working on this, that, and the other, and we can kind of get nowhere. And so it's really like looking at that set a foundation for success, develop a bit of a shared understanding. I'm not sure if you guys have roles and responsibilities and priorities. And so it's kind of some of the stuff that would come out in our group conversation. And I'm not sure if you guys did any kind of like training or anything but that, like that, but that's something we could, you guys seem to get along pretty well though, so I'm not sure I would probably go there with you guys. Like if there was issues, we might do a little bit more have respectful communication and stuff like that, but you guys seem to get along pretty well. But you know, the piece that's important is develop a really clear operational and legislative agenda for your guys. So the operational is like, you know, boots on the ground, like what do we want to accomplish, like this building, like whatever. And then legislative, on the other hand, would just be what kind of bylaws, policies need to be revisited, tackled, like whatever during your term, and kind of like frame those out and set like a bit of a schedule and milestones so council can kind of see like what's coming up for them and make sure their priorities are being met. And then with the operational side, that really filters down to your like staff, right? So council sets their priorities on the operational side. Then we'll work with your staff to, and Chantel or the CAO to figure out, you know, how we're going to do those things, how much they're going to cost, and provide that information back to you. I think like the approach that I talked to Chantel about was kind of going through everything that you guys have now. So you guys have an official community plan. You I don't think there's an existing strategic plan, but there may be maybe environmental and sustainability initiatives that we need to consider. different operational strategies, like your solid waste plan and that kind of thing that are out there. So to kind of coalesce all these different pieces that are out there, once that you've agreed to say like, yes, this is what we're going to accomplish and what we're going to set out to do, take a bit of an inventory of where we're at. So Chantel's going to let me know that a lot of things in the OCP have been worked on here and there, and maybe some have been accomplished or not. So we're going to take my approach would be to take a really good hard look at your OCP, make sure that we're on track to kind of accomplish the things that the community asked you guys to do when that OCP was created. Look at those kind of secondary and tertiary strategies, make sure those are incorporated as well. And I think like under current circumstances as well, there may be things that we've never talked about that you guys want to discuss too, what you're hearing from the community, ideas that you came into your council seat with or whatever. And the idea being that we want to create a consensus, right, between everybody. So maybe nobody gets exactly what they want, but we all kind of agree this is going to be the plan moving forward. And then we, in a perfect world, that would filter down to your staff. They would be able to complete like work plans and that kind of thing, that you would see those like actions and activities like represented in their work plans. You know, things are being worked on and that kind of thing. And I think, you know, this is the first time we've had 4-year terms with council. So you guys have like a little bit more to implement things, right? So, you know, and I think there's a lot of benefits to doing this, not only just like clarity for what you guys are trying to do here, it's clarity for the staff as well. In a perfect world, like this organization, right from the top to the bottom, knows what they're working on, why they're working on it, and why it's important. And it's also important for the staff to feel a sense of purpose, like that they're working on the right things for council and that they're providing the results that you guys are looking for. And I find without that, can be sometimes difficult to know, like if you're working on the right things and doing a good job as like a staff member and that kind of thing. So it's important for not only you guys, but them as well. And then, you know, the resulting strategic plan, which will include the legislation we want to tackle, so bylaws, policies, whatever, and the operations pieces, that would be probably a medium term, we call it strategic plan, provides the kind of who, what, when, where, why of all these activities, how much it's going to cost, who's going to do it, who's responsible, why we're doing it, all that kind of good stuff. And then it's just up for you guys to implement. Should be probably reviewed like once a year. It's pretty straightforward, because really I think like what we're doing is we're taking a lot of stuff that's already out there along with your input and just really focusing it into something that's like doable for the organization. That makes sense. And that, you know, is within your capabilities to accomplish. And then we end up with like a medium term plan. You know, it doesn't go beyond, I don't want to say exclusively, it doesn't go beyond your mandate, like things can, but we generally say like we try not to hook the next council to anything that you guys are, you know, wanting or whatever, but sometimes there's longer term things that need to happen. So it'll touch on infrastructure, capital planning, emergency services, water and waste, economic, community development, tourism, recreation, finance, and anything else that you guys deem is important. Basically, the output is a strategic plan with a lot of like fact-finding and meeting and talking that comes before that. The price we provided is just under $5,000. And I think just depending, I was thinking about, you know, because things cost money. Like, I think if we had a good chat maybe about like housing accelerator in here, we might be able to move some of those costs under the housing accelerator fund, just like offset some of your own O&M costs in that respect. It's just me for now, but I may include John Glenn Morris. I'm not sure if you guys know John. He's an excellent facilitator, just really great at helping you guys have a conversation. And then something else that's not included here, because we kind of consider this like an internal plan. We didn't anticipate any community engagement or anything like that. So that could be something additional. If you guys want to hear feedback on what you guys are thinking about, make sure your community is supportive of that. And basically, yeah, like I have it, you know, feel like we can accomplish this work. If you guys are into doing it, we'd be happy to support you with the process. That's basically what I'm here to talk about today.
Okay.
Yeah.
definitely interested in when the timeline would be that you'd be able to do this.
Right away. I mean, yeah, we could just depending on, well, yeah, I could probably start everyone on a 10-day vacation next week, but once I'm back, so like mid-August.
We'll be able to, I think I remember we'll be able to Zoom some of these meetings, or it's not all going to be in person until.
Yeah, I think we kind of have like a workshop style, like one meeting, like in person, maybe like a 9 to 3 kind of thing, not like a full day, but. And we would come with all our ducks in a row ready to kind of take you guys through all these different pieces that we think are important. So I think for you guys, it's just kind of showing up with, you know, just like good attitude and whatever's in your mind with for wanting to kind of talk about with your colleagues.
Yeah.
So we can come to some sort of consensus because Doris might want a spaceship built.
Okay, so
lots of the public works buildings.
Trying to think back, like if I'm pretty sure we had a strategic plan before, but what those things look like with the new projects that are on is what you can consolidate together. So we have a clear vision on what all that really looks like. And then with our own agendas, seeing what that looks like matched up with what's there.
Yeah. I think my approach is really to like, because you have plans like the OCP that have all that great community input that you guys said, you know, you're going to implement this. It provides a lot, pretty solid long-term vision.
Yeah.
It's a good plan. And I think we would be remiss to just kind of be like, well, we're not going to look at that. So I want to make sure like, because that's what the community asked for pretty recently. So I want to make sure that we're in a good space there. And, you know, things that weren't considered at the time of when the OCP was created, we do need to talk about those as well. And I think where we'll bring a little extra flavor is looking at things like your solid waste management plan and bringing those up for discussion with you guys, because it's not something you may be like really aware of or visit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But again, important to see how all these things work together within the capacity that you guys allow to accomplish these things.
Okay.
And, you know, it's, we just got to see where that lands, I think, to see like, you know, what's doable and what's not. I think if we end up with a strategic plan with 150 things, it's probably not a good, probably didn't hit the mark. You know, we really want to get you guys focused in on what are the most important things that need to happen, and making sure that the legislation, the bylaws, the policies, the funding, the capacity is in place to make those happen. And we'll talk through all that, and you know, we'll determine what those things are. You know, and then it kind of goes to the staff to be like, hey, how are we going to do this? And they're going to be like, well, I can do this for you, but it's going to cost $1 million, or no, we can just add this on to what we're already doing, or like whatever. Yeah. And then I think you guys will for sure, you know, just reflecting back on, you know, I don't want to like single you out, Tara, but just what I heard is just like, you know, maybe just a bit of like, we need to start kind of doing our own thing and like putting this council stamp on like what we're doing in the community and make sure that's, you know, we're working on the right things, and that this will get you that, right? And you guys should have a plan at the end of the day that you all kind of agree on. And so when something comes up, like, or whatever, it's just like, well, does that fit with our strategy, what we're trying to do? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But you'll have that list.
Okay. So are you looking for us to like just approve the starting another resolution?
Yes,
or
please.
Okay. I'll ask the question as a resolution to hire Jordan Stackhouse and Elevated Yukon to work with us on our strategic planning
process.
We have a mover.
I'll make the motion.
Do we have a seconder?
Sounds like.
Councillor Mitchell, do you have any other questions?
Corey is on now too. I saw her on the.
It's Corey though.
Hi, I am here. I don't have any questions. I'm good. Thanks.
Okay. I'll call the question. All of those in favor? That passes. Thank you, Jordan.
No worries. I'm going to hang out to talk with you guys after. Okay. Great.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, correspondence. KYC resolution letters. There's 9 in total that you had time to review. I'm sure if anybody just want to move this, accept this for our correspondence, because we could a motion.
Make a motion to accept the AYC resolution letters that we aren't acting upon.
Do you have a second? I'll second. All those in favor? Thank you. Okay, correspondence, risk assessment and recommendations, lot 1133.
It's a little concerning since we were told that it's good. It's good for residential, and then it says right here that it should not be used as residential.
I think,
and then not to have groundwater, and the existing community supply should be relied upon. There is no existing community supply. Yes, it was just the water use considerations and literally the second bullet of indoor air considerations. Buildings should not be used as residential dwellings. Come on. Yeah.
Okay. So,
which isn't surprising considering what it was used for in the past, but
anybody else have any comments on the risk assessment recommendations for lot 1133? I see the groundwater, Councillor Wheeler, as a possible pose question to the consultants, SLR, as in there's adjacent properties that are using the water as of now. So like what it says is that there's treatment and what their parameters are in here from what I read, but maybe just clarification on what their overall water use considerations are don't match what their treatment levels are. That's what I see on that part.
Are we able to find out what reclamation they've done, if any, on that lot?
I've added to the list.
Chantal is adding that to the question list. Is there any other concerns, questions? Not seeing any. Can we have a motion to accept this as correspondence as well?
I'll make a motion that we accept this correspondence not available by resolution.
We have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Thank you. Okay. Council activity reports. Councillor Hansen.
I have been inactive.
Councillor Mitchell. Councillor Wheeler.
I don't really have anything to report. It's been pretty quiet in CarMax. The wedding was lovely. It was nice to have a wedding of a young couple this weekend.
Thank you, Councillor Wheeler. Councillor Belmore.
I don't have much. I popped in quickly for the pool grand opening, but didn't stay very long. And other than that, not really any municipal business. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Belmore. My report is also very short. I did attend the pool re-granted opening. That's all I have. I'll be quiet around here. Recreation report moving forward. Chanel Johnny, thank you very much, Rec Director. Does anybody have any questions for Chanel on her report? There's just some community highlights from her, Hoops for Life. I know the kids really enjoyed that, having the opportunity in a positive way to learn basketball and just even learning the basics. Father's Day hike, Canada Day planning. This is a recap of, I think we already covered this, but Canada Day, Ben. just facility maintenance updates, access control for the front doors is being dealt with, and the elevator has been repaired. Just acknowledgements here. Thanks to all staff and volunteers who helped deliver and enjoy Canada Day events. Your efforts were really made the day special for the community. Yeah. Thank you very much to all the volunteers. Thank you, Chanel. Moving to finance report from Annette. Does anybody have any questions? You can refer to Chantel here. Let's move on to arena report from Jerison, the AFO manager. Just some highlighted things here. Park maintenance, just repainting parks. Saying there's some water system issues that have been followed up with. Looks like he's resolved some issues with the PLC. Equipment repairs, him and George are looking at refinishing some curling rocks, is what it says. Yeah, for the winter. Yeah, thank you, Jerison, AFO manager. And we're moving on to Chantel, CEO report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My report for July 22nd, important dates. We have a public engagement suggestion period, business bylaw 314-24, that's our first reading. Comments from the public will be accepted from July 15th to August 15th. There is a survey as well, and it's also posted on our website, or they can call, they can email. There's many different options for comments to come in, and almost a month to comment. I'm on vacation August 2nd to 24th, returning August 25th. Regular council meetings will be August 5th and August 19th. Grand opening was yesterday. I want to thank the pool and everybody else that had a part in that, in getting it going. Big thank you to Canada CCBF funding, NYG as well. Landfill composting program. The landfill site is being prepared by Public Works. Another public engagement will occur later in August. And then in September, we're going to hand out the bins, and by October, we'll have a fully functioning compost program. Scale project, tenders closed. Tender review with contractor was done yesterday, and I will get an update on where that's sitting for next council meeting. Hooter Revival, we're looking for a new person to take this over as the last person has declined. Property tax amounts. So Annette worked with YG Taxation Branch, requesting that missing portion of $50 on undeveloped lots. It was about approximately $1,000 that were missing in funding. So she's sent out letters to, and of course, there'll be no penalties for accrued interest on those $50 until they're paid. Landfill title, YG is working on this. If you see a publication at all with legislation saying that the landfill titles have been sent out and approved, CarMax is not on the list. It's because we're a little bit behind, along with Haines Junction. A couple other communities are also not on the list, but it'll be an amendment to the legislation a little bit later that will be added to the list. And not to worry that we're going to be missed out, because we're not. Council wall map, this big, huge one here. Challenger Geomatic is almost done with that. Soundproofing container here in the corner. So it'll be installed on Thursday. Viewing in the arena area, George and Viren are building a table along the viewing area to cover those metal pegs along the floor for safety reasons. Lease spaces, YG has sign leases for this space next door, as well as the new office space up in the rec center. Have public engagement. I got documents from Jane actually just today that we're going to mail out tomorrow as mailers for more public engagement on the development initiative fund. Pocket Park. So Gerson worked really hard to get it all nice and clean and repainted everything, cleaned it up, and the next day it was vandalized. So he had to go back and repaint a few things. The lagoon is still with YG Project managers in coordination with the LCFN on some lagoon issues. BST road work. VOC is starting their work on July 26th to start getting the preparation of the BST road work done. And then YG will come in on the 28th and resurface the areas. Jens will provide us a road maintenance plan and that we will be able to share with the public so everyone knows where the detours or the closures of the roads will be. Arena boilers, Budget Plumbing is still waiting for the fan as it's still on back order. They're pushing their manufacturer now because I'm pushing them. Arena humidity issues are still waiting for the data collection. And that is the end of my report. Thank you.
Thank you.
Association of Yukon Communities, Councilman Wheeler.
Just for nothing.
Thank you. Bylaws, business license bylaw 314-25, out for public input, as Chantel has said. You haven't, what is the dates again, Chantel?
So yeah, July 15th to
August 15th.
No, in the letter, yeah, you have 1 month. It's August, July 15th to August 15th.
Yeah.
In the letter, it says August 27th. So we're going to leave it open until August 27th. So this letter went out publicly on the website, posted around town, and there's a survey, and you can also go or email, drop off your comments. We're getting a lockbox. Has that come in yet? A lockbox comment box? Okay. We're getting one for the front so people can just anonymously put comments in the lockbox.
Drop anything.
Absolutely. Chats or whatever. It'll be secured.
Thank you. Okay. New and unfinished business. Interim acting CAO. Resolution here. Acting CAO appointment to cover a CAO's vacation. Recommendations from the CAO recommends that Annette, Willemczyk, sorry about that, finance officer to act during the period of August 4th to August 22nd, 2025. We need a mover.
I'll make a motion that council moves to approve Annette Willemczyk's finance officer as acting CAO for the period of August 2nd through August 22nd, 2025 to cover the CAO's vacation.
Do we have a seconder?
I'll second it.
Councilor Mitchell? You're all in favor? Thank you.
That's it.
Okay. Question period? Any questions from the gallery? If there's any, not seeing none. Okay. Motion to move into in camera.
I'll make a motion to move into in camera.
Second.
Third. 48.
748.
Yeah. Yeah.